Amen. Powerful youth choir. Praise the Lord. No turning back. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5? I warned you of this last Wednesday in our Bible study when we were concluding the Beatitudes, that I was praying about continuing in this Sermon on the Mount of Christ, because really, in all the church we have, sometimes we get into Christ's actual teaching very little. And so after praying about it, I felt led to continue with the sermon, and I'm going to entitle this series, just what we're doing, Beyond the Beatitudes. We're going into the Sermon of Christ beyond the Beatitudes. I have found that many times in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ's Beatitudes get covered, and then the series stops like we were about to. And so I just want to entitle this Beyond the Beatitudes. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we're just going to read one verse tonight. Jesus begins and he says, and I always like to point out in the Old English, ye would be equivalent to today, you all. He's not just talking about singular you. He's talking about all of you. So all of you, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. That's probably one of the most recognizable phrases in the scripture. Ye are the salt of the earth. How many realizes Jesus meant something when he said it? Ye are the salt of the earth. I want to entitle this Bible study tonight, Salty Salt. If the salt has lost its savor or lost its saltiness. Salty Salt. If it looks like salt and it's not salty, it's hypocrite, right? To be the real thing, salt needs to be salty. Father, bless the teaching of your word tonight. Jesus, this is your message. This is your sermon. Holy Spirit, anoint me to share it the way you intended it to challenge our hearts. Bless your people tonight. Bless us with open hearts and open ears to receive your word. Bless me, Lord, with your unction and your inspiration tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Salty Salt. When our elder daughter, our firstborn child, Ashlyn, many of you knew and you don't know her, but when she was about 3 years old, we were still teaching at the Bible school, and it came springtime, and we were holding a revival. I don't know, hour and a half drive from the Bible school. And so every night we were traveling, we were listening to the radio. But during that time, there was a new worship song that came out. And that worship song was I Exalt Thee. How many remembers that? And basically, there wasn't a lot of variety to the lyrics. It was I Exalt Thee, I Exalt Thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. And that new song, worship song, came on the radio, and we were listening to it, and Ashton, two or three, whatever it was, she started laughing and laughing and laughing. And we said, Ashton, what's so funny? She said, listen to that man. He's singing, I am salty, I am salty, I am salty. Well, I got to wondering that night, could I sing it that way? Be truthful. Could I sing I Am Salty? What about it tonight? What about you, your life? Could you say that tonight? Could you say I'm salty? I'm salty in reference to what Jesus is saying? Did you know the way, I'm talking about as people now, the way we act, the way we react, our attitudes, the way we come across to folks, our demeanor, the spirit that we have in a relationship with people, everything about us as believers should be positive, be a positive, be a moral, be a spiritual influence on those around us. That's what it means to be salty. We make a difference by our influence. Amen. I want to just look at this verse and just emphasize some things Jesus said. And I'm just going to begin at the first. Jesus said that we are salt. Jesus said that we are salt. Ye are the salt. I got to thinking about that. Stay right with me here. It'll mean something. I got to thinking about that. Notice that Jesus didn't give a command. Jesus didn't say, now be salt. Come on now, be salt. I'm commanding you, be salt. It's not a command, be salt. It's not even a command, be salty. It's a declaration. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. In other words, he was saying, hey, you followers of me, since you are my follower, you are salt. I mean, that changes everything about this. It's not that I go around saying, I'm going to try to be salty. I'm going to try to be salty. I'm going to try to have an influence. I'm going to try to make a difference. I'm going to try to be salty. I'm going to try. No. What Jesus is saying is, if I'm really following him, if I am really a believer, if my life has really been changed by the power of God, I will be salty. This is a wonderful thing. It's not something we try to affect in our lives. If we seek him, if we obey him, if we follow him, we will be salty. And so take note, it's not a command, it's a declaration. If I'm a true believer, you're a true believer, we will be salt. As evil as our society is, as bad shape it's in, how many believes our society is in bad shape? How many believes it's evil and wicked? Have you ever stopped to consider what it would be like if all the Christian salt was removed? Can you even begin to imagine? Can you begin to imagine how the wickedness and decay and degradation, as bad as it is now, what would it be like if all the Christian influence was removed? On the other hand, to be honest, we have to ask the question, would things be in as bad of shape if those who were professed to be Christians, if they had have been being salty, would things be in as bad a shape as they're in? Ye are the salt. Jesus is saying something. It's the nature, just like it's the nature of salt to be salty, it's the nature of a believer to have an impact and an influence, a positive influence, a spiritual influence, a moral influence on the world around him. In other words, if you're a true believer and you go to public school, you should have a positive influence, a moral influence there. Not that you have to try to do that, but if you're really following Jesus, you'll have that influence. If you're a believer and you go to work and it's an ungodly work environment, if you're truly following Jesus, you're going to be making an impact. You're going to have an influence there because Jesus says, we are salt. Secondly, tonight, Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. I want you to know, he didn't say we're the salt of the church. He didn't say we're the salt in the church. He said we're the salt of the earth. Amen. Our spirituality isn't just to be within the four walls. You know, with the recent bad weather, we recognize the value of salt. They could use other things, but nothing will work like salt does to melt the ice. And we recognize that. And many of you have driven by those silos or salt barns or whatever you want to call them, the department, you know, the different departments, city departments, highway departments have them. And you've driven by there and saw all that salt mounded up inside that barn or silo, haven't you? Man, that's a good sight to see, but I want you to know it never melts any ice when it's still in the silo. The only time it does any good is when it's taken out of the silo, out of the barn, and scattered and spread upon the byways and the roads. We are the salt, not in the church. I mean, we are salt in the church, but that's not Jesus' emphasis. We are salt in the earth. The impact comes as we are scattered throughout this world. I truly believe this. It's the same in our world. And it's wickedness. It's the same thing that's true. There can be nothing more powerful an influence than the Christian who truly follows the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say the world's best hope is genuine Christians. They may never concede that. They may not want to admit it. But the world's, America's best hope is true Christian believers. Amen. That's not boasting. It's a fact. I honestly believe only the moral, spiritual influences of Christians can save the world from the mess that it's in. Amen. But the problem is, whenever Christian influence is fought, whenever Christian influence is demeaned and mocked and weakened and eradicated, and there's going to be decay, there's going to be degradation, there's going to be destruction. And when I'm talking about the influence we have, I'm not talking about a political influence. I'm talking about a moral and spiritual influence everywhere we go. We are salt, but we are to be salt in the earth. Whatever neighborhood we live in, whatever stores we visit, whatever schools we go to. You see, before we get too far away, we gotta realize something. Even more so in Jesus' time, salt was a desirable and valuable mineral. It was valuable. Did you know that salt was so valuable in Bible times, it was used to pay folks? They didn't have currency, and it wasn't as valuable as gold and silver, but when they got ready to pay somebody, they paid them in salt. That's how valuable salt was. They paid Roman soldiers in salt. And you may have never thought of it before, but that's where we get our word salary from. Since Roman soldiers were paid in salt, they called that their salary, their saltery. They got their salary. Some of you work on a salary. That's where that word came from. But we also got another expression from that. You don't hear this much anymore. He's not worth his salt. In other words, you paid him his wage in salt, and he really didn't earn it. Now, that's a bad thing to hear about somebody in a place of employment. He's not worth this salt. The most valuable thing in Jesus' time about salt, yes, it made food more pleasant. How many has ever thought about what it'd be like to eat without salt? By the way, sometimes in medical folks, they get way ahead of themselves and they get all fanatical. They made salt such a sin and preached against salt and tried to get everybody get rid of their salt to the point that people began to be unhealthy for the lack of salt. You got to have salt. Amen. Okay, thank you. How many wants to begin eating all your food without salt? I'm getting too close to this now to even mention it, but years ago I was in revival and there were older pastors and they wanted to take us down to the local senior center for a meal, and I took one bite and asked for salt. You thought I had said something bad. There wasn't a salt shaker in the place. They hid it. They got rid of it. But, you know, it wasn't just that it made food pleasant. Did you know the most important thing about salt in Bible times is that it preserved things? No refrigeration. They would use salt to preserve their meat and different things. You know, in more recent times when they begin to sail the world in those ships with sails, the only way they could keep their meat was to salt it. And we get that terminology, salt pork, from that. Salt was a preventative to decay. It was a preserver. In other words, Jesus is talking about an influence that keeps things from decaying and breaking down and spooling and being destroyed. And that's the influence, that's the value of the believer on our world. It keeps it, it preserves it from all its evil. You know, the thing that's so alarming as I begin to study this is it's supposed to be that the followers of Christ have an influence on the world around them. Isn't that what Jesus says? I mean, we've already preached that. The message is believers should be having this tremendous, incredible influence on the world around them. And if there was ever a time the world needed that Christian influence, it's right now. But at the same time, when Christians should be having the greatest influence on the world, if you'll listen, those who care, the youth pastors, the pastors, the teachers, are having to say to Christians, don't let the world be an influence on you. How many times do you hear that? Is something wrong here when the message has to be to the church? Don't let the world be an influence on you? When the whole time it's supposed to be turned around, it's supposed to be that the church is having an influence on the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. That influence that preserves. Salt is a valuable thing. Salt must be mined before it's put in the salt shaker. I got to thinking about that. I know they didn't always have salt shakers. They had barns. They had a sack they put it in. They had a clay pot. But let's just think in our terms. You know how that salt got in the salt shaker? And I know there's other ways they get sodium chloride. But the main way they get it is they dig it. They mine it. Well, I want to remind us something before we go too far. Salt is mined. And if you're here tonight, it's because God in His mercy, He mines you out of a pit somewhere. How many can just say amen? But you know, when He mines you out of the pit, He just didn't leave you lying around. He put you in the shaker. He put you in the church. He puts you around other grains of salt. Look at your neighbor and say, you're just another grain of salt. But altogether, Brother John, we're salt in the salt shaker. Right? He mines us out. He digs us out. Then He puts us in the salt shaker. Did you know individual grains of salt have little effect? Have you ever been to a restaurant and looked around for the salt and the waiter said, there it is on a napkin. There was one grain. Did you get excited about that? Oh, there's salt. No, what do you say? You say, pass the salt. You don't expect anybody to pass you one grain. No. When you say pass the salt, you're saying pass the shaker. And I'm telling you, when we gather here tonight, we're salt in the shaker. Amen. And together, there's an influence and there's a power. Amen. But not only is salt mined and put in the salt shaker, there comes a point that if it does any good, salt's going to have to come out of the shaker. Amen. We can come to church. We can have wonderful services. We can shout. We can glory. We can have testimonies. That's all salt in the shaker. But if we're going to be the salt of the earth, we're going to have to come out of the shaker. Amen. I'm going to tell you a wonderful thing. We're at church on Sunday. That's God's will. That's God's plan. When He mines you with salt, He puts you in a shaker. All right? That's God's will. God's blessings are rich and good. That's on a Sunday. You know what's supposed to happen on a Monday? The shaker's supposed to be up like this. And the salt is shaken out at school. And the salt is shaken out at work. And the salt is shaken out in this neighborhood and in that neighborhood. Amen. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that salt is to be. And then Sunday, we come back together in the shaker. We're blessed. We help one another. We're encouraged. We're strengthened. We rejoice that we've all been mined. But here's another Monday. And again, we must be shaken out of the shaker. You are the salt of the earth. And the last thing about salt, I got just a few more things to say that Jesus said, but on this point, salt of the earth, salt has to come in contact with the thing it influences. I know I used this illustration some time back, but it just reminded of again on Sunday when I was spreading ice melt. You know, it can be, you know, you can spread that ice melt and it can be really cold and it'll melt that ice. And you take that same ice melt and keep it in a container or keep it in its sack. And I've been out there before I spread it. And here's a sack of ice melt and snow piled up on it 6 or 8 inches deep. It's not melting it. Why? Because it's not in contact with it. So not only does salt have to be spread, but it has to be in contact with it. Amen. Amen. We, as we're in this world, we're to be an influence with those we come in contact. Not only did Jesus say that salt is the salt of the earth, He says something very frightening. Jesus said the salt can lose its saltiness. Look what He says. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, its saltiness. You know, to me, this is one of the most frightening things, and it's brought to surface by this verse. One of the most frightening things that Jesus ever told us. You can be salt. You can have an influence. You can have a good reputation. You can have an impact on people, but you can also lose your saltiness. Think about it. I want every believer, if you make any claim to be born again tonight, I want you to think of the weight of those words. Jesus says salt can lose its saltiness. Does that bother you like it bothers me? Wouldn't you hate to lose your saltiness? Your influence, your reputation, your effectiveness? Now, you know, there's always some smart fellas. You'll run into some of them through this world. They'll be on television. They'll teach a class. They're really smart. Well, right here we can see that Jesus wasn't the Son of God and didn't know what he's talking about, because salt can't lose its savor. Salt is sodium chloride. And by its very nature, sodium chloride is always salty. And when it's not salty, it's not sodium chloride. Therefore, Jesus didn't know what he's talking about, because salt can't lose its savor. I want to ask you, can salt lose its savor? Jesus said it could. Well, they're really smart, and I'm not so smart, but I realized something right off. When Jesus was talking about salt, he wasn't talking about the chemical compound sodium chloride. When Jesus was talking about salt, he was talking about what the people of his time talked about when they used the word salt. And you got to understand something, that at his time, they didn't have the processes, they didn't have the means of extracting and making the compound sodium chloride and getting rid of all the impurities and getting rid of all the other foreign matter. They didn't have that process. You can go and get pure sodium chloride, pure salt, and that's all it is. But to them, that wasn't what salt was. Whenever they got salt, they hadn't been able to separate it from everything. And sometimes it would be in a compound with vegetable oils. Sometimes it would be in a compound with other minerals, maybe even a little bit of sand. I mean, it was so impure that the salt was always in a mixture with something else. Now we begin to understand. They knew what Jesus was saying, every one of them, because they had all bought some of this salt that was impure because of all these other things that were with it. And what would happen is the sodium chloride over time, or because it was exposed to water, the sodium chloride would dissolve and leave the rest of the materials. And so all you had left was the vegetable oil or the sand or the other mineral, but the sodium chloride that made it salty was gone. They still called the other stuff salt because that was their salt of the time. And I got to thinking about that. Can we be like that as salt? Can we still have all the other stuff? Can we still have the outward appearance and the acts of worship and the Christian duties that we fulfill, and yet the salt be gone? Jesus said it's possible. There was another thing that happened to their salt. Sometimes they would have all this mixture and some other chemical would get in it that would bind with the sodium chloride and change. And you have to get one of these chemistry teachers to explain this. But if you put certain chemicals in sodium chloride, it becomes a different compound and the saltiness is lost. Did you know we can add things to our life that will cause us to lose our saltiness? That's the way it works with the world. Every time, I promise, if a believer begins to add worldliness to their life, there's something about that new compound. It'll take the saltiness. It'll take the godliness right out of your life. But there's another thing that puts the onus on the other side. Did you know sodium chloride can still be there? But sometimes folks' taste buds, something's happened to them. They're sick, they're damaged, they're injured, or they just have had an overabundance, they're burned out, and they no longer taste the sodium chloride. Sometimes it's not all the believer's fault. Sometimes the world we live in has become so evil, so wicked, so sick, that it no longer tastes the saltiness that is in fact there. But the frightening thing that Jesus says is that the salt can lose its saltiness. So the question is again, are you salt? Have you kept your saltiness? Do you still have your Savior? Then notice what Jesus says. He says, salt that is not salty is good for nothing. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt hath lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Now remember what I was telling you about the salt of their day. It was vegetable oils, other minerals, sand, whatever. It was all conglomerate with a little bit of sodium chloride. And I told you how that sodium chloride could leave. But here's the thing. When that sodium chloride left the other minerals, what was left had no value. Everybody Jesus spoke to knew that. The thing that made that valuable is that the salt was different. It may be the shape of another grain of sand. It may be the same size as another grain of sand. And it might have even been the same color as another grain of sand. But the thing that made it valuable is salt was different. And when it lost that difference, what was left was worthless. And so the sodium chloride was gone from that mixture that they had been using. What did they do? Did they keep it on the shelf? Did they keep it in the cupboard? Did they keep it in that clay pot? No. Jesus said they, since the sodium chloride was gone, the saltiness was gone, they took it and they threw it in the street. It was worthless. You wouldn't want to put it on your food. It would serve no purpose. Salt, if it has the same properties as any other grain of sand, has no influence or power. But in that difference is where its influence is. Oh, this is a difficult thing sometimes to get those who profess Christ to see. But if we're like every other grain of sand in this world, we have no influence. We have no effect. We have no power. In fact, we're just another grain of sand to be walked on. Here's another frightening thing. You know, sometimes folks miss this because it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around. He says, wherewith shall it be salted? How do you salt salt, in other words? Well, Jesus actually saying, if the salt has lost its savior, how do you put the saltiness back in it? Think about that. We normally don't think about it. If the salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? If the saltiness has gone out of the salt, how do you get the saltiness back in it? Amen. I hear, you know, chemically, I'm talking about what they called a salt. It was impossible. Once that saltiness had left, it was through. Throw it out. You can't get the saltiness back in. I'd like to say with Christ, it's not impossible to regain your saltiness if you've lost it. The sad thing is it frequently never happens. But thank God for His grace and second opportunities. For some folks it has. They've lost their reputation. They've lost their effectiveness. They've lost their Christian witness. They've lost their saltiness. But they say, oh, I don't want to be like this. And they come back to God. And God can do what they did not do and could not do at that time with science. He can put the saltiness back in the salt. Amen. How many wants to be salty? Salty salt. Amen. Salty salt. Amen. Just real brief and we'll conclude tonight. How do I keep my saltiness? How do I not lose my saltiness? Every day I keep my heart right before God. You can keep your saltiness that way. Keep your heart right before God. How do I keep my saltiness? I desire to live and to be and to do and to think and to feel as He'd have me do, think, and feel. How do I keep my saltiness? I live according to this book. How do I keep my saltiness? It's all in our thing for this year. Daily. I daily walk with the Lord. Amen. People like that will have a saltiness. I want you to remember this when you leave tonight. Ye are the salt of the earth. Right now we're in the shaker, but when we walk through those doors, the shaker's turned up. Amen. Now let me close with this. If the music wants to go ahead and come, it can. But do you know when we're most like the salt? I believe we're most like the salt that Jesus intended when we take the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. I mean, you could just live and have a good attitude at work and you're salt. You can just be a moral person and be salt in your neighborhood. But I believe we illustrate the saltiness Jesus intended the most when we take advantage of an opportunity we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody. I read today there was a fellow minister of Ravi Zacharias that shares this, but in Iran there was a pastor, and he and his wife were driving through the country to a village, certain village, and on the way they stopped at another village to buy water. And when they pulled over to this little store there to buy water, leaning against the wall was this real rough, mean-looking man, had a full beard, dark, and his eyes were dark, and he had a machine gun. He was standing there against the wall. And before the pastor got out of the car, his wife said, "Here's a Bible. Hand that man a Bible." And the pastor took a look at him and said, "I'm not handing him a Bible." And his wife said, "Yes, I just feel led. You need to hand that man a Bible." And the pastor said, "Well, you know, I think I need to pray about that. Pray whether that's the right thing to do." So he went in the store and bought his water, came back out, put it reversed, and his wife said, "You didn't hand that man a Bible, did you?" And the pastor said, "No, I prayed about it. I just didn't feel like it was the right thing to do." And his wife said, "You just didn't want to give him a Bible. You were afraid." He said, "Yeah, was." And he said she knelt her head down. They were pulling away from the store, and she began to pray for that man standing there with the gun. And that got to the pastor. And he said, "Okay, fine. All right. If you want me to hand that man a Bible, if you want your husband to get killed, I'll hand him a Bible." So he turned around, and he pulled back into the store, and he walked up to that man. He said, "Here, sir, I want you to have this." And the man reached out. He put it in the man's hand, and the man immediately began to weep. And he said to the pastor, "I don't live here." He said, "I live 3 days' walk up in the mountains." But he said, "3 days ago, an angel appeared to me and said if I would walk to this village, somebody would give me a book about life, eternal life." He said, "Thank you for giving me this Bible." That so influenced that pastor, he went on to do a great work for God. And this is real. This is during our time. Did a great work for God. But recently he was martyred for sharing his faith. We're most salty when we take advantage of an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you feel. I want to convey the challenge I personally feel. I don't want to ever lose my saltiness. And I also want to relieve us of a great burden. I know this is redundant, but I want us to hear it one more time. Jesus never said, "Try to be salty." He said, "You are salt." As long as I'm following him, as long as I'm seeking him, as long as I'm letting his spirit move in my life, I don't have to try to be salty. I will be salty. Amen? Amen. I don't want to ever lose my saltiness. Salty salt. That's what we are. Would you stand? Amen. Maybe you're here tonight with special need. You just need God in your life. You need God's help and God's touch. I want to invite you, if you have a special need of God in your life tonight, would you come to these steps that we use as an altar? Folks will pray with you. Is that you tonight? You're here with just a tremendous need of God in your life. We'd like to invite you to come. Anyone in the house just have a special spiritual need, would you come? Hallelujah. That invitation is open. I want to say to the rest of you, and I know you're here on Wednesday night. I know where your heart is. I know where it's at and your faithfulness. But if you hear Christ's words tonight, and there's something in you that says, "I never want to lose my saltiness, but I want to truly in every way be the salt in my world." Young people, what a tremendous opportunity to be salt at your school, salt at the college, salt at work, salt in the neighborhood. If that's your desire tonight, never to lose your saltiness, but to be salt wherever you're shaken out of the shaker, amen. Would you come? Let's pray tonight. Would you do that? If that's your desire, you want to be salty salt. Salty salt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we can leave singing, "I am salty. I am salty. I am salty." Hallelujah. I never want to lose my saltiness. Never. You got a reputation. You're known as a godly person. Don't ever lose that. Even people of the world respect you for what you believe and what you stand for. Don't lose that saltiness.
And the